Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I'm your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest today, Kathleen Booth. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining me today on the Grin Gets Real podcast. I'm super excited to be chatting with you about coupon injection problems. We'll dive into that kind of verbiage in a little bit, but let's get started with who you are and what your expertise in this field is.
I am currently VP of marketing at a company called Clean.io. My background is that I was the owner of a digital marketing agency for about 11 years. We had clients in, you know, as you would imagine, all different industries. So that was a great opportunity to get to know how different industries work, how different businesses bring in revenue, et cetera. In 2017, I sold that business to a friendly competitor. And I went over to that company for 2 years to earn out my buyout and also to basically build a media company around that agency. So I spent 2 years building out a massive online community for marketers. We started a big conference called Digital Sales and Marketing World. We built a membership platform with online training. It was really fun. And it was different than what I had experienced in agency life. And since then, really, yeah. I've been working in a series of high growth venture backed startups. It's the closest thing to being an entrepreneur as I can get. And having spent 11 years owning my own business, it's, you know, I still have that itch. So yeah, I love it. I come in, I build the marketing organization, build the strategy and the tech stack and the team.
Today, we're going to talk about promo codes, coupon codes. It's called various things. But what I found so interesting in speaking to you beforehand was the education on security as it comes in the digital space. I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts on why marketers should educate themselves on digital engagement security. I feel like it's obvious, but it's not really that obvious either.
You know, it's really interesting because I've been in the marketing business for a long time. I'm not going to say how long, but it's been a while. And when I went to school for marketing, and I don't think this has changed, you know, we weren't taught about security. It's not something that was seen as a marketer's concern. And as marketing has become more and more digital, marketers have taken on large IT budgets. In fact, there's a lot of data that shows that now we have bigger IT budgets than the IT leader in the company does. And so, yeah, so much of our marketing is online, you know, whether that's on other platforms like social media or on our own website, which, you know, we as marketers are always taught to think of our own website as our owned asset, right? You have control over your website. And interestingly, that's a big misnomer. And that's where digital engagement security really comes in, is that traditionally before digital, when you were looking to build trust with your audience, and let's face it, we're all in the same business, right? We're all selling trust, regardless of whether we sell marketing services or sneakers or tractors or, you know, artificial intelligence. It's all trust. And so traditionally, when we wanted to build trust with our audience, we did that through the experience we delivered in our office, in our store, when we met with people. There was more human interaction. And that's really been replaced by digital interactions or engagements, as we call them now. And so the real starting point for building trust in a digital world is protecting those digital engagements and giving your users, your customers, your audience, your prospects a trustworthy way to engage with you online. And so that's really, that's what digital engagement security is all about. Unfortunately, the gap is that marketers haven't been taught about any of it. And so we've been thrust into the situation where we're responsible for it, but we don't have the tools to manage it. And so I'm very passionate about this because I do think it's something that marketers need to learn more about because we have such control over it. And if you don't get it right, what's at stake is your company's brand reputation, the user experience you're delivering, and honestly, revenue. And those three things are central to our ability to succeed as marketers.
And I'm right there with you as a marketer myself as well, too. I think that sometimes security in my head, that does fall in the IT department, you know, not my circus, not my problem. Yeah. But also, like, it is my problem. I think it's
that security is a digital problem all the way around. And I almost think it goes beyond marketers as well too, not just marketing. But I'm also curious, you just said, you know, it's having kind of the right tech stack for security from a marketing perspective. If I'm just kind of starting out with thinking about security, what is that tech that I kind of have to have in place? Those must-haves before you even have those deeper conversations and examine the nice-to-haves.
I always tell everybody the best starting point is education. Like if you listen to this today and you're like, ugh, I need to do more on this, start by just learning a little bit more about the security implications of particularly your website, because that's the most important property you have. And there are some great resources online. In fact, the Department of Homeland Security has an agency, CISA, which is C-I-S-A. Mm-hmm. If you go to CISA.gov, they do have resources there that are just a good starting point to learn more. But having said all that, you know, the security implications for your website, they're pretty varied. It's everything from making sure your site doesn't get hacked, which I think we're all aware of, right? We all know we don't want that to happen. And that's where IT traditionally comes in more. You know, they're generally more involved in making sure that our websites are secure, not vulnerable to hacking, not going to get taken over, maybe not going to have personally identifiable information of our customers or our audience stolen from us. But there are a lot of shades of security. So there are some things that IT might not be as involved with. For example, browser extensions. What a lot of marketers don't know, and I did not know this until I started working in cybersecurity companies, until I came to clean.io, is that what your users have on their computer can actually compromise your site. It always seems like the reverse. Like as consumers, we're kind of taught, be careful of the websites you visit and what you click on.
Yeah.
We're not generally taught that we ourselves can be a threat. And how that manifests is when we go to, you know, like the Chrome store or the Safari store and we add an extension to our browser. And hey, if you're a marketer like me, you probably have a ton of them. I have SEO extensions and like, you know, screen capture extensions and color pickers and all kinds of things like that. All of those extensions are what are called client side, and they are given an elevated level of permission to execute scripts on the websites you visit. And if you think about it, it makes sense because like if you have an SEO plugin, is if when you go to a website, because the point of it is to tell you about the SEO of that website, it needs to be able to crawl that site and see the code and get certain information, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with all the other extensions we use. And so these extensions have higher levels of permission and they can do things on sites that don't require the website they're visiting to like opt into. And that's what's so interesting. So yeah, as a user, they're great. But when you think of yourself as a website owner, that's a little scary because all of a sudden you start to realize there's thousands of extensions out there and all of them are able to operate on our websites without us having any control over them, unless we take specific action to control them. So that's a little bit of a preface. You know, that's where I would say most marketers really lack awareness and how they affect your site. There are also different shades there. There are some that legitimately are like infected extensions that are just dangerous that can add viruses and things. And then there are some that just make small changes that affect your user's experience and their ability to convert. You know, we focus particularly on the coupon code aspect of that, but there are plenty of other ways it affects sites.
What I'm hearing you say is almost like the equivalent of deadbolting your front door, but leaving your back door completely unlocked and vulnerable, right? People can
or the
still
windows
get
open
in.
Or
exactly. Everybody gets in, but that there's a deadbolt on that front door. But let's dive into just kind of coupon extensions and just sort of how they work. Like I said at the beginning, I feel like everybody calls them something a little bit different, right? Coupon codes, discount codes, promo codes. I think that we're talking about the same thing when we're talking about coupon extensions. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. You're right. There's lots of terms that people use for them. But I mean, we all know it. If you're either a shopper who's ever bought anything online, or if you are an e-commerce brand, everybody knows the little field at checkout where it says, enter your promo code or enter your discount code.
Exactly.
And you type it in and you get your discount. And we all love a good discount. Who does not? And discounts are important. Like we are, as a company, we're very pro discount because they can be used really strategically by marketers, by e-commerce brands to incent behavior. And traditionally, discounts before digital, they were used top of the funnel, right? We're all marketers. We know these terms. You know, yeah. The example I always give is Bed Bath & Beyond, big blue coupon that we all have gotten in the mail for years.
100%. $5 off, right?
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about the physical coupon that you're sent or the money mailer or the coupon you cut out of a circular, that's really designed to be top of funnel because it's designed to hit somebody who maybe wasn't thinking they needed to go to that store and buy something. But all of a sudden you get the coupon and whether maybe it's Bed Bath & Beyond and you're like, oh, I could save money. Maybe I should just go see what they have, right? Or the money mailer, I didn't really think I needed my gutters cleaned, but now that I see this money mailer coupon, maybe I do. So it was top of funnel and it was meant to stimulate demand. What has happened now with coupons going digital is there are still top of funnel discounts out there, but a lot of it has actually moved to the bottom of the funnel, which has major implications for online brands. So what I mean by that is there's been this proliferation of deal sites that have popped up over the years. You know, like some of the more famous ones are Retail Me Not, Coupon Cabin,
Honey,
Capital One Shopping. And so it used to be that when you were shopping, you would go, you'd put stuff in your car to check out. And then if you were really savvy and into couponing, you would like go to one of those websites and search specifically to see whether there was a coupon code for the site you were visiting. And then if there was, you would copy it and paste it. And a lot of times they didn't work. So you might have to paste 10, 15 of them before you got one that worked, but maybe you'd save some money. So, but there was friction in that process. And now what has happened is it's gone to the next step where companies like Honey, which is owned by PayPal, and Capital One Shopping, which used to be called Wikibuy, they've developed these extensions. So this takes us back to the earlier conversation where you can go to the Chrome Web Store or whatever web store you're for the browser you're using. You could put it in your browser. And now when you go to the website and you put these things in your cart, the extension will just automatically pop up and say, we found 5 coupons. We think we can save you 20%. Would you like us to do this? And what person in their right mind would not click yes, right?
I don't want to save money.
Yeah. I mean, it's so easy and it doesn't require you to go anywhere or do anything. All you have to do is hit that button.
Yeah.
And then because now that you understand by listening that extensions have a higher level of permission, what these extensions are able to do is auto inject these 10, 15 codes into that field at checkout. And test to see A, which of them work, and B, of the ones that work, which has the highest discount. And so it will go through that process, it will pick a winner, and then it will tell you, boom, you know, we've saved you however much. Or it will say, if none of the codes work, it'll say you already have the best deal. That sounds fantastic for customers, and lots of customers feel like it is. The problem for brands, number one, how they function. I'm like, these are basically databases of coupons. Mm-hmm. And how do they get their codes is usually the first question, right? Some people do legitimately just enter a code in there. They'll say, hey, you know, here's a code I tried and it worked. You should know about it, honey. But most of the codes they get from scraping, and how that works is if you are a customer of a company and you're legitimately sent a code, whether that's in the mail or over email or what have you, if you have one of these extensions in your browser, like Honey, for example, we'll just use them. And then you go and you type your code in that you've been given by the merchant. Honey will then scrape it and share it with every other person using Honey, which if it's a general code that the merchant is giving out broadly, is probably fine, right? You know, there's a lot of like free shipping codes and things like that, that merchants want to spread as wide as they can. Where the problem comes in is limited use codes. And there are a lot of these. Brands tend to use a ton of different codes in their marketing. In fact, we have found through the data on our platform that the average merchant has about 102 unique codes that they're using at any given time. And a lot of those are limited use. So they could be, for example, subscribe to our newsletter and we'll give you a discount. So you would only want to give that code to somebody who subscribed to your newsletter because the whole reason you're offering that discount is to get them to take that action so you can get their email address.
Absolutely.
Or it could be a certain subset of your customer base, maybe your VIP customers, or maybe customers who are members of a certain group get a particular code. So there's those types. And then there's other codes that you use specifically for marketing attribution. So for example, maybe you're advertising on a podcast and you mention a code. You use that code because you want to know that anybody who converts on it came from listening to that podcast.
Absolutely.
Or a very common use case, perhaps one of the most common use cases for codes, is affiliate marketing, where you give your affiliates a code or your influencers, and you then know whether your affiliate or influencer marketing is working by judging the redemption of those codes. And
yes,
you may also be comping your affiliate or your influencer on a percentage of those sales. Now, hopefully, folks who are listening can begin to see where it gets dicey, because if the extensions are scraping these codes and sharing them broadly, all of a sudden, your control as a brand goes out the window.
Yeah.
What you think are going to be limited use codes are not, which is problematic from a revenue planning standpoint, from a marketing attribution standpoint. And worst of all is if your affiliate codes get out and you're comping them, all of a sudden you're going to be paying your affiliates for sales they didn't drive. That's sort of how coupon extensions work. I think the other issue really to keep in mind is it goes back to what I said earlier about top versus bottom of the funnel discounting. So
yeah,
the other problem that arises is that if you have customers who are visiting your site with these extensions, many times they'll come to your site fully intending to buy something, whether they get a discount or not. They will put their stuff in their cart. They will be at checkout ready to give you their credit card information. And all of a sudden something will pop up and offer them 20% off or what have you. I think the average discount we've seen is 10%.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need that 10% to convert. So you're unnecessarily discounting a high intent customer sale effectively. The other problem some of these extensions bring in is they actually do what's called customer journey hijacking, where there are a lot of extensions that will basically pop up when you're on a retailer's website and tell you where you can find the exact thing in your cart somewhere else for a lower price. Oh. So imagine as the owner of that website, if there's an extension on your site effectively saying, hey, go buy it somewhere else for cheaper. That is devastating to you as a business.
I'm kind of curious as to, is there a fix to it? Is it an eradication of promo codes to kind of overcome this? Or are there manual fixes or other ways to combat these challenges?
We do have a product that helps with this. It's called Clean Cart.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not anti-coupon. So I've spoken to a lot of e-commerce brands about this problem. And all of them want to be able to use codes, right?
They're absolutely.
Codes have an important place in the marketing mix. They're a great way to reward really loyal customers and to work with affiliates. They're simple. But the issue is that with these coupon extensions, brands wind up spending a ton of time just chasing down these codes that leak. And it's problematic because it's time consuming and it's taking their team away from working on revenue producing activities. But it also introduces a lot of friction, especially if you work with influencers or affiliates. So, for example, we have one customer that has a really large customer kind of evangelist or advocate program. And in this case, they're not paying them to be affiliates, but their customers love the product so much, they want to share it. And the business wants to be able to track where these results are coming from. And so they give them codes, and they tried other approaches to this. They tried doing unique links, because a lot of people will say, well, why don't you just use a link instead of a code? And you can, but like this company, for example, found out that they got much better results and more conversions through codes. So they really wanted to use them, but they were spending, I think it was like 1 or 2 hours a week just chasing down leaked codes. And that was their time. Where the real problem started was every time they found a leaked code, they would gin up a new one, and then they'd have to call their customer evangelist and say, hey, I'm so sorry to bother you, but your code is leaked. Would you mind going to your website, going to your Instagram, going to your emails where you've put this
and
code?
And changing all the things.
Yeah. Which is a nightmare. I mean, if you, especially because these are customer evangelists that are not getting paid to do this.
Yeah.
You can imagine then how frustrating that situation was. So there's a huge like time saving aspect. Then there's also a big money saving aspect. For example, our data tells us an average of $17 lost per transaction to coupon codes. Some much lower, some much higher. I think the largest single discount we were able to block was $495 on a single transaction.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a big problem, and it's growing because these extensions are owned by companies like PayPal and Capital One. They have really deep pockets. They're throwing a lot of money behind advertising to expand their user base. So what our product does is you put our script on page. It's super simple. And what we do is we don't block all coupons. We just block that auto injection. So if somebody's really determined to go to a deal site and try a bunch of codes themselves, they'll still be able to do that. And we don't want to prevent customers from using coupons because that would be really customer unfriendly. But we feel like blocking the auto injection, or as I like to say, blocking the robots, evens the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But is there, without a technology like that, is there anything that I, as a brand who's running an e-commerce store, can do before I get into the technology space in order to just kind of help combat that a little bit? In my head, I'd want to create a code that has an expiration date, you know, just letting them know every time we start a new campaign, this is what your promo code is going to be for this specific campaign. And then moving on to the next one. I mean, that's obviously a band-aid to be able to fix it, but I think that's also kind of what I'm looking for as far as just kind of some tips and tricks that we can leave people with.
Absolutely. So there are a bunch of things you can do, certainly without getting a product like ours. The first is honestly just getting more organized about how you use codes. It's amazing to me. So when people start using our product, one of the things we do is we deliver reports to them that show all the codes people are attempting. And what's blown my mind is how many times merchants have said, I did not even know that that code existed. And I think it's because they have a lot of different platforms that they're working in that are generating codes. And so things are siloed, but they might also have multiple people that are doing it. So I think the first thing is, if it were me, like, create a spreadsheet where you log every code that's created and you track them. That's the starting point. But the second thing then is, you should anyway be watching your data and your code usage on your site and look for irregularities. So a lot of times how merchants come to us is they'll suddenly see a spike in usage of a particular code and they can't track it back to anything in particular. So like it's normal to see spikes if you've sent out a big email campaign or work with an influencer who just posted something and it was seen by a huge audience. But if nothing in particular has happened or changed and all of a sudden you see an uptick in code usage, that's probably because a coupon extension got a hold of your code. So watching that data and identifying when that's happening is really the next step. And then if it does happen, you absolutely can write directly to these companies and ask for your code to be removed. Now, that has been met with mixed success. So there's a lot of discussion about this, particularly like in the Shopify forums, merchants that are incredibly frustrated because very frequently what happens when they write in is the company will say, hey, you know, we'd love to help you join our partner program and you'll have a lot more control over the codes.
Yeah.
You know, Honey in particular is notorious for this. The challenge with that is then when you join Honey's partner program, they are an affiliate. And so now you're going to be paying them every time they auto inject a code. And then if it's an affiliate code, now you're paying your affiliate, you're taking a hit on the discount and you're paying Honey. And so for brands that don't want to have to join one of those programs, you can certainly do letter writing. Some brands have had success, some haven't. I would say, you know, be prepared to get a little combative with them. But I think at the end of the day, it's a decision about how much time do you want to have to spend on this?
Well, and you bring up a really good point. You got to take a look at your data in general, look for those spikes. And then if it is really affecting your bottom line, your revenue, like as a business and as a brand, you have to examine like, all right, what's the next right step? I don't want to move away from this, but do I need a technology to help me execute this on a higher level? Because this is definitely a strategy that we want to keep in place. Also, just kind of really curious because when a promo code or coupon code does get leaked, I hear a lot, okay, well, we're going to find it. Is it literally just a matter of going to those kind of coupon injection sites and then like looking to see if a code is on there but I don't know if there's another way.
No, there is actually. I mean, that is what you would do. You would have to go manually to all the different sites. And here's the thing, like lots of people have heard of Honey and Capital One Shopping, but there are others. I mean, I'm just looking at a list I have. There's Rakuten, RetailMeNot, Coupert, WeThrift, Slick Deals, Scently, Piggy. There are so many. This is why it's so time consuming. And some of them are bigger than others, but you just never know which of them has your code. And so managing that process is kind of a nightmare.
which of them has your code and which code are they using, right?
Yeah. And how to get in touch with them.
Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff is so incredibly interesting and is such a great example of, you know, having your finger on the pulse, that digital security that you were talking about. But before we end, you did also mention something else during our previous conversation, which was malvertisements. And it is something that I'm not very familiar with either, but I was incredibly fascinated. So I'd love to hear just what is a malvertisement and how is it different than like prefixes of mal, like the malware, right?
Yeah.
You know, are they the same thing? As a novice from a security, I'm very not, well, obviously I care about security, but I just don't know the nitty gritty, right? What is or what are malvertisements?
Malvertisements are malicious advertisements. So we have another product that targets that. And what that is any website that accepts advertising. These days, by far, the vast majority of those ads come in programmatically. Back in the day, sites that took ads would deal directly with the advertiser and they'd sign an advertising contract and they'd send their creative right to the publisher and the publisher would put it on their site. That really doesn't happen a lot anymore. Now it's programmatic and ads are literally just piped into websites through exchanges called demand and supply side platforms. Website owners don't know really anything about the ads coming in their site. They have to trust that the ads being delivered through the exchanges are safe. And unfortunately, yeah, there are a lot of really tricky ways that people with malicious intent can get by the screening controls of these exchanges and put ads on sites that we probably have all experienced, right? Like as users, we've all clicked on those ads that then a massive pop-up has come up on our screen,
yes,
saying, you're in a sweepstakes and you can't seem to get rid of the window. Like there's no way out of it. Or it redirects
that
you. Yeah. And sometimes they looks like there's an X, but there really isn't. Or it redirects you to a website you didn't think you were going to go to, where they're trying, yeah, to rope you into a Bitcoin scam. There's so many different ways this manifests. And it ranges from just really bad user experience to genuinely like malicious JavaScript being injected on your computer because you clicked on an infected ad. So that's another form of digital engagement security. You know, when if you're a business with a website that takes ads, you want your users to feel comfortable clicking on them and not like they're going to, you know, have a bad experience or get infected. Or worse, they're going to turn on their ad blockers and then you don't monetize,
yeah,
them at all. So we have another product that deals with that as well.
Well, and that brings up my next question. With both just kind of coupon injections, promo code threats, malvertisements, as a brand, what are kind of the top three like advice points that you can give someone to help mitigate some of these challenges that what we just talked about today we're seeing?
Number one is one thing we've already talked about, which is know your data, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a marketer. I think most people listening are marketers.
Yes.
You should probably be doing that anyway, but like that's going to be the first thing that's going to tip you off if you have a problem. And so watching your data, looking for irregularities, that's really important. Then beyond that, I think the second thing is do your homework on A, awareness about security in general on your website, but B, any,
yeah,
third parties that you're allowing into your site, because there's third-party code that you allow in, and then there's third-party code that you don't have as much control over, like the extensions. But we do allow a lot in. And for example, with malvertisement, we're allowing those ads in. And with websites, when we design websites these days, there's tons of plugins and,
yeah,
different apps that we put in our sites. Like you need to investigate what the makers of that code have done to secure it. And if they don't have that information on their website, fill out a contact us form and ask the question, or go to their, you know, chat bot and ask the question. Do your homework and see what they've done. And certainly there's no foolproof guarantee,
yeah,
that anything's going to be secure. But I think it's about choosing your partners wisely. And you watch your data to look for anomalies. What that's going to do is set you up for success so that if and when something does happen, you catch it quickly. And then, of course, if you want to, you can explore solutions like ours or like any of the other companies out there that protect against these type of things, if it makes sense for you.
Absolutely. Well, that has been incredibly helpful. And now we're on to prediction time, which is always my favorite because I love to hear just kind of the insights that you bring to the table. With online shopping having changed so much since the pandemic, what do you think is in store for the digital landscape from a security standpoint over the next year?
So this will come as no surprise that this is my prediction. I actually do think we're going to see a real movement within the marketing world mm-hmm. to understand security more. I've been calling it marketing security or like MARSEC for a long time. I genuinely think people are starting to realize it's something they need to be concerned with. And so I predict we're going to see more service providers pop up. Maybe it's either marketing agencies that are educating their clients about security or they're adding security services on to what they do. Because traditionally, that's really been the purview of a managed IT service provider. But I think we're going to see more marketing agencies get in that space. And then I also think we're going to see specialized training become available. Mm-hmm. I don't think it exists right now. At least it doesn't that I know of. But like cybersecurity training for marketers that is specialized not only to things like how does this code affect your website, but also, you know, and we didn't touch on this and I won't go deep into it, but the whole category of social engineering, which is speaks to like, how do we as marketers share information and what risk does that prevent to our organization? So if we're doing posts on social media, what should we and should we not put in those posts? There's so much there that we just don't know about as marketers. And I predict we're going to see that start to become addressed through better training.
As we continue to evolve the digital landscape, we're going to have to all naturally get so much more educated in regards to cybersecurity because we're just doing more online, you know, as a brand, as consumers, everything is kind of at our fingertips on our phone. So I think that we should all take an active part in understanding where our vulnerabilities are and then just how can we protect ourselves a little bit more. I appreciate you coming on and just talking about just security and promo codes and malvertisements. This has been incredibly educational for me, and I appreciate you leaving our listeners with some just kind of helpful tips and insights.
Well, thank you, Katya. It's been so much fun to talk about. Clearly, I can nerd out on this really hard. So I appreciate you listening.
Of course. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. During the episode, Kathleen and I discussed the need for marketers to get more in the know when it comes to digital security. Something that traditionally was thought of to land in the world of IT affects us as marketers with our websites and as we push out promo codes and so much more. We dove into e-commerce promo code security, and Kathleen left us with some tips on how to mitigate those security threats so that our bottom line and our man hours are not affected. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars. I wouldn't mind 5, guys. And leave us a review. If you are interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.